Welcome, and thank you for standing by. I would just like to remind you that the conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Shall I do a roll call for you, Steve?
Yes, please.
On the call, we have Holly Rice, Eliza Cooper, Tatiana Kramskowski, Michele Nilon, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tim Ruiz, Staten Hammock, and Phil Corwin. For staff, we have Margie Malam, Marika Koenigs, David Geezer, Dave Piscitello, Liz Gaster, Glenda Saint-Jerry, myself, and Gisela Gruber-White. Thank you.
Great.
Over to you, Steve.
Great. Thank you very much. So I'm getting a little bit of an echo here. Is anybody else hearing an echo?
One moment.
No, but I am confused. I've now, in the space of 2 minutes, gotten two different addresses for the Adobe Connect for this meeting.
I'm sorry. This is Margie. Looks like there's some confusion. The first one that Glenn sent out is the one that's correct. The last just came out from Gisela is not correct.
Okay.
Can I make them?
Shall I send it out again? Or is everybody...
Yes. And that's the one you sent, not the one Gisela sent, because otherwise we'll really have a confusion.
That's the one I've just sent.
Christina Rosette joined. Yes.
Okay. We didn't send out a formal agenda in advance of this, but I did circulate a couple of things. I think we really want to try to do two things today. One is to just take one step back and see where we are in terms of our three tasks of this group, and if we can, try to identify some target dates for completing each of these steps. And then I think it would probably make sense to turn to the document that was circulated actually during our last call on the 3rd of December, and that's Margie's revised, reorganized spreadsheet of the topics that have been submitted for possible RAA amendments. And I don't know if we need to walk through that line by line, or more likely just see if people have questions and or if there's anything that's been omitted from that, or perhaps put in the wrong place. We can then see if we can proceed ahead on the basis of that document. So those were the basically the two agenda items that I had proposed. Was there any other agenda items that people wanted to suggest?
I actually think that going through that document is a very, very useful thing in light of your proposed agenda.
Okay.
I'm saying I think the document is a very good one to go through in light of your agenda, and just to identify the things that we can do and what is going to take a bit more time. I actually like your agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Any other thoughts? If not, then maybe we can turn to our three tasks that we were given. The first was to identify topics on which further action in the form of amendments to the RAA may be desirable. That's number one. Number two is, from list one, flag any topics that may require further analysis as to impact on consensus policy. And three was propose next steps for considering such topics. Clearly, we've been working on number one up till now, and I guess it would be helpful just to make sure we have a kind of a common vision on what needs to be done in order to complete that first task, starting with going through the December 3rd compilation. And then, you know, test 2 and 3, flagging topics and proposing next steps. And maybe the best way to do it is do number 2 is simply that as we look over the list of topics that we've compiled, if we see any that people see any that they think may require further analysis as to impact on consensus policy, we are just supposed to flag those. We're not supposed to resolve, you know, how that comes out, but I think we are supposed to flag any such topics. The one thing that we haven't really had much or any discussion about is what the next steps ought to be, and maybe we can so we should think about how we're going to develop proposals for the next steps. And then the last point there was timeline. So let me open the floor for comments from anyone about what's needed to be done to complete the first task, and how we might ought to proceed on developing proposals for next steps. Any thoughts on either of those topics? I don't see anyone's hand, but I know some people. I'm not sure exactly who is on the. I know we're all a little late getting into the chat room, so please just speak up if you want to contribute on this. No comments?
I think everybody. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I did send out an email saying some of the items that are on this are actually quite big items. Now, I appreciate what's been done, which is there are in the matrix indications that some of the issues that were raised possibly are already in the RAA and may just need amendments. There are other things that are perhaps bigger issues. I know that one thing I was concerned about was just the general issue of compliance, because that was raised and it doesn't seem to be on the matrix. But I think it's worth saying if we actually propose stuff, what is the possibility of it actually being enforced, and are there difficulties there? And I think some of the next steps, if you go down to the sort of the bottom, there were things like, should it be a two-step thing? Should we think about some of the things we cannot actually put into the RAA because it will take a lot of work? Is there any value in looking at the possibility of some lesser document, such as a code of practice or a code of conduct or something like that, that would indicate this group thinks these are issues that are worthy of consideration? But at this stage, going through obviously be a lengthy process, they're not going to make it into the RAA for some time. So those were the things I was thinking about when I looked at the extensiveness of this matrix.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so some very good points there. So may I summarize by saying I think you're suggesting that we think about prioritization, or at least putting the topics into the shorter term and longer term baskets or something like that?
Yes, I think
that's accurate.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, this is Dave Giza from ICANN. I just wanted to respond quickly to the question regarding compliance, because as most people know on the call, contractual compliance is my responsibility at ICANN. And so we are developing a plan right now to take the new provisions in the 2009 RAA and use them constructively in our enforcement work going forward. So I do think that this working group needs to be aware of that, you know, compliance has been an ongoing mission, but not until just recently here with the adoption of the 2009 version of the RAA, you know, have we begun to see the kinds of compliance tools that we need to actually, you know, move forward and do our work, you know, more constructively and more proactively. So, as you begin to prioritize the topics ahead, just bear in mind that there is going to be a plan developed and released, most likely by the end of this trimester, that, you know, I think could be helpful for this group or for others if they want to know more and learn more about the enforcement actions that ICANN is planning in the future.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Let me. I know Tim had his hand up. Does anybody else wanted to get in the queue? Tim, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. Yes, in regards to flagging topics that may require further analysis as to impact on consensus policy, I think the intent was that the reason we would do that is because those that actually are consensus policy related or actually already provided for within the agreement as the topics for consensus policy, that those would be, the bills would not be considered as part of the potential amendments, that those would be dealt with through the consensus policy process. So once those were flagged or identified, then those would be eliminated, so to speak, from this list of possible amendments to the RAA. So in other words, what we'd end up with is a list of things that would actually require an amendment to get done. Those that could already be pursued through consensus policy would be dealt with through that process. Is that correct? Is that clear for everybody? Or?
Well, let me see if anybody else wants to speak on this. Anybody else in the queue? I'll recognize myself. I had comments on a couple of things that have been said. First, Holly has suggested this prioritization. I think we should think about that. We may not know till if we're trying to come up with two tiers, let's say, the shorter term and longer term, we may not know which goes in which basket till we've gone through the whole list, but I think it may be worth making that distinction, at least including that in what we send forward to the council. I think in terms of the consensus policy issues, I don't disagree with what Tim said, but I think we may not reach agreement on what is covered by consensus policy or what needs to go through the policy development process. So we may not be able to resolve that question, but I think we were asked to flag issues that may need to be looked at in that light. So I'm fine with the general concept that if it has to go through a consensus policy process, it may not be appropriate for an RAA amendment. I'm just not sure we're going to all agree on what are in those two categories, but we certainly want to try to flag those that people in the group think do fall in that category.
Thank you. No, I think that's fair, Steve.
And then, just in terms of what Dave said, I'm not sure I heard right. When this is this a compliance plan that will be released by the end of the year, or when is that expected to come out?
Yeah, Steve, we're developing the plan in this trimester, and so
I don't know what a trimester is.
Yeah, let me give you a little background on, life inside ICANN. So ICANN has a fiscal year, and it divides the fiscal year into three trimesters. And so we're in the second trimester, which actually started in early November, and it runs until the middle of March. So by the middle of March, we'll have a draft plan developed. We'll probably be talking about it, quite frankly, in Nairobi to get some public comment, feedback, and support from from interested parties in terms of how ICANN intends to use the new tools in the 2009 version of the RAA as part of our ongoing enforcement work. Because as many folks on the call know, there was an extraordinary amount of work and effort that went into creating the 2009 version of the RAA, and now ICANN wants to take every opportunity that's available to us to maximize the enforcement work using those tools going forward. Tools such as aggressive audit provisions, tools that allow us to levy sanctions for noncompliance, and tools that allow us to explore other areas of the RAA that were not previously explored or enforced. So that draft document will be available by, again, by March 15th.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. That's a very helpful clarification. Michaela has his hand up. Anybody else want to be recognized? Okay. Go ahead, Michaela.
No, just in relation again to compliance, I mean, David might, I know David won't be able to give a concrete answer on this at the moment. I know that's part of what he's working on at the moment. But, I mean, a lot of the issues that compliance seems to be dealing with at the moment seem to be historical, as in registrars that haven't paid ICANN fees for what would appear to be several years. So the question, I suppose, really is, in terms of compliance, are they still playing catch-up, or are they getting to a position now where they will be actually be able to enforce kind of general and slash more serious provisions of the RAA, of the contracts?
Yeah, the short answer is that we're closer to the latter, not the former position. We've done quite a bit of catch up this calendar year, as well as the in the prior fiscal year, in terms of non-renewing and terminating registrars who were not compliant with the 2001 version of the RAA. And we're working, I think, as many folks know, very aggressively on our registrar data escrow program, which is an emerging area of compliance that is one of our top three focus areas for this fiscal year. So we're actually starting to get ahead of the curve here in that respect, and I think we've made it around the corner with regard to the registrars who had failed to pay us fees, and registrars who, for historical reasons, had found themselves, not in compliance with the 2001 version of the RAA.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments at this stage on our looking at our overall tasks here? Well, it sounds as though in terms of tasks 1 and 2, we can kind of do these at the same time. I think as we go through the December 3rd spreadsheet, we should be thinking about whether there are any topics that may require further analysis about impact on consensus policy. So people should just speak up if they think they see one. And then I think in terms of Holly's suggestion, we can try to put these in shorter term or longer term baskets with the, and then we review it at the end and see if we have got the right split and the right mix there. It strikes me that would be the best way to proceed on numbers 1 and 2. On number 3, about next steps for considering such topics, I guess I would suggest that we would encourage people to circulate something on the list about that. I think we, rather than wait till we're done with the compilation, let's start thinking about what we think the next steps ought to be and how to move these topics forward. And I don't have a specific proposal at this point. I don't know if anybody else does, but unless somebody does, I think we should encourage people to circulate something on the list and get that discussion started while we're working our way through tasks 1 and 2. In terms of our target dates, I think I'm not sure we can say anything right now. Maybe we should see how things go on the rest of this call in terms of walking through the spreadsheet. But the staff did send out a document giving the deadlines for how far in advance a document has to be ready in order for it to be considered by the council at one of its meetings in January, February, or March. So maybe after this call, I can circulate some suggested target dates for these tasks, and then people can react to those. But I have the benefit of this other chart that shows me, for example, that if we want to get something on a council agenda before the Nairobi meeting, we have to have the document all ready by February 4th, which would mean we have to pretty much have done the work by the last week of January. So that's just to give an example of what these various deadlines are. So are there any comments on what I've just said in terms of how we'll proceed from this point? Okay, if not, then I guess I would suggest that we turn to this December 3rd spreadsheet, which I think is on your screen, and at least on my screen, it's in extremely small type. Mm. But this was circulated on December 3rd, and I think I sent the link out to it again this morning.
Yep.
Maybe if there's no objection, maybe we should just ask Margie to give us a quick overview of how this is organized and you know what the different columns mean, and then we can delve a little more deeply into it. Margie, do you want to?
Yeah, sure. And I believe the settings on the Adobe Connect room are such that you can adjust the size and scroll through the document yourself. So hopefully that'll help you see it. Basically, what I did was take all the input that we'd received to date and categorize it and consolidate it, because there were a lot of duplicate ideas, and I thought it'd be useful to see them all in one place. Now, you know, in many cases, the suggestions were slightly different. So when I categorize something per issue, and then there might be subparts within the issue. And then I've identified who provided the recommendation and any other additional language or implementation options that were suggested. So for the first one, the first issue related to cyber squatting, and if you scroll through the document, it was essentially a recommendation to have a prohibition on registrar cyber squatting, and the recommendations came from staff and from Danny Younger. And so that's what these provisions are here. And there's various ways of approaching the issue. I don't think we need to go into that now, but that gives you the background as to why we have four or five different options here. And maybe we want to talk about whether this is an issue that has priority, doesn't have priority, or raises an issue of consensus policy.
Okay, so Margie, so the list of issues, this is the band, the shaded band, and you have you start with cyber squatting, and you have a total of 18 issues, I guess. Were these listed in any particular priority order from your perspective, or just is this is there some other order to this, or is this just
no? There's no order to it. I think it's just the order they came up.
Okay.
So there's no particular order to the numbering sequence.
Okay, and then I noticed the cyber squatting seems to turn up on every page, but I assume that's just a formatting issue.
Oh, that was a formatting thing. I apologize for that.
That's fine. I think it's a very useful document. So you have cyber squatting, you have front running, registrar warehousing, malicious conduct, and so forth. And then where you've got a duplicate, for example, I see on the third page, under malicious conduct, there are several things listed as 4.4, which means, I guess, that these are very close to each other or in the same topic area. And
yeah, that's right. When it sounded like they were the same topic, I tried to keep them numbered the same so we wouldn't have to be repeating it, and we could reference it easily on the list and in discussions.
Okay, and then you have RAA reference, which is where there's a particular provision of the 2009 RAA that is involved here. You've referenced that. Obviously, some of these suggestions listed particular provisions and some didn't, but that's just drawn from what's actually in the suggestion, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Great. Are there any questions about how this has been organized or presented here?
Just a comment. Some of these things are to do with compliance or the code of conduct, which seem to me in a little bit of a different category to issues. So maybe we can kind of put those to one side, given that we've already had the discussion with Dave and the compliance thing that we're looking at and what we do about that, which takes, which reduces the number somewhat of the issues. Just a thought. Because I'd see cyber squatting, front running, registrar warehousing in a little bit different light to what I'd see the comments on compliance and the code, which is further down the list.
Okay. Did you have an example of something that you felt should be put
okay,
to one side, or do we, should we wait till we get to that?
As we go through, I think we can say the issues that talk about compliance and process, maybe we are in a different category to the actual issues like front running and cyber squatting.
Okay. Any other comments at this stage? Okay, well, why don't we then why don't we start with the first topic, cyber squatting, and you see there are four rather specific options that have been put forward by the staff, and then there's a very general topic that Danny Younger put forward. So I guess in a way we have a couple of questions here. First, do people understand, you know, are people reasonably comfortable with understanding what's being talked about here? And second might be, do we have any thoughts about prioritization or any view on whether there's a potential consensus policy issue here? Any comments on cyber spotting?
I hate to jump in again, but I think where we got to last time was a recognition that we almost need to agree on a definition that is workable, and it seems to me this is a longer-term issue because once we define what it is, including how you determine bad faith, which is always a big issue, this issue will, even though it's very important, will take, I think, a fair bit of discussion. I'd almost put it in a longer-term issue thing.
Okay, you're voting for the longer-term category. Michaela had his hand up.
That's exactly the same thing. I mean, without a workable definition of cyber squatting, any discussion on it is pointless. Cyber squatting is a term that a lot of people use when incorrectly. Some people understand it to mean one thing, other people understand it to mean something else. So, you know, while some of the concepts there probably are fine, without knowing what exactly cyber squatting is, I can't see how on earth anybody could do anything with it.
Christina, and then Tim?
To the extent, I think the definitional problem is solvable, and actually relatively so. I mean, I think there are a number of existing definitions of cyber squatting, some of which are actually used in, you know, in the, whether it's in.
Christina, you're dropping out here, at least.
Okay. I think the definitional problem is solvable and may not be as large as we may initially think about it, simply because I do think that there are a lot of existing reference points, many of which exist within the ICANN universe that we can look to, whether it's the UDRP requirements, whether it's, you know, what the STI is recommending for the URS, whether it's what CCTLD registry operators are using. And I think, frankly, if we were to actually just have, you know, a chart of what's the definition, where is the source, and even perhaps just starting within what's within ICANN, setting aside national legislation, I think we could come up relatively easily with what the common elements are.
Okay.
And I would actually put this on a pretty high priority.
Okay. Tim, and then Marie.
Yeah, I was going to mention something similar to what Christina said, and the other source I might look at is the Registration Abuse Working Group, who I think had been working on a number of different definitions of different types of abuse. So that may be another source to look to get an idea of, you know, if they've approached, you know, discussed the definition of cyber squatting, if they have, what their definition of it is.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. Thank you.
This is Marika. Tim actually already made my point. In the registration abuse policies working group, they've had quite extensive discussion on the definition of cyber squatting and how that fits into potential work in that area or recommendations they might make. It's likely that this group will come out with an initial report just before the Nairobi meeting, in which it will put out all these definitions for these different types of abuses, including cyber squatting. So, you know, it's another moment as well for members of this group interested in that work to see, you know, what they have put forward and maybe use it as an opportunity to provide input as, you know, once the council looks at that, as that might be a definition that, that can be taken on board.
Thank you, Marika. Tim, did you want to be recognized again, or was that, am I misreading this? Maybe your hand is up from before. Okay, Christina.
Sorry, Steve, just lowered it.
Okay.
I was just going to ask, Marika, does the RAP working group, do they have any kind of matrix or chart of the various definitions that, you know, they've looked to, or are they starting from scratch?
There is a wiki where there are the different discussion points, because they started looking at the UDRP discussion, but they also looked at the, I think it's the ACPA, definition has been used, but there has been a lot of discussion on whether that would fit or not, or how it should be modified, and I think they're actually back to the original UDRP discussion, but I can post up on the wiki or on the Adobe Connect room now where that wiki page can be found so people can see the discussions the group has had on that issue.
Right. That would be helpful. And I would just note that personally, I think if we start, I think we create many difficulties for pretty much every stakeholder group. If we come up with a definition of cyber squatting that is materially different from what's in the UDRP, because then you have different definitions applying in different contexts, which, you know, can certainly happen, but I think if that's the road that we decide to go down, I think we need to be very careful about that.
Yeah, and just to reassure you, I don't think it's going down that route. It would definitely, I think as they've discussed it, the basis would be the UDRP, the only discussion that they had whether certain elements would need to be added, and I think there was no consensus in the group that that should be done.
Okay, thank you. It sounds as though there are some definitional resources, and I don't know whether available now and perhaps more in the near future. I don't know if that changes the views from Holly or Michaela about the long-termness or short-termness of this issue.
From my point of view, if there are several definitions, I think it does perhaps say the definitional issue is alive and well, but if it is being discussed and already part of it, I can't sense it. I think it would be more sensible for us to see what comes out of that discussion rather than try to address it, make a recommendation ourselves, or at least make a recommendation that says we would support something in line with work that is being done elsewhere in ICANN.
I second that.
So maybe it would have to take into account definitional work being done elsewhere.
Yes.
I
mean, the thing is, there's no point replicating stuff. I mean, if somebody else is already actively involved with this, then, you know, it's fine to say, okay, cyber squatting, maybe it's something that needs to be addressed, but this group over there is working on that, and move on to stuff that isn't being addressed elsewhere.
Well, actually, I'm hearing two different things here. One is that in terms of a definition, we may have one soon. Well, obviously, we have one in the UDRP that we've had for 10 years. We may have one soon in the registration context that is coming out of the registration abuse group before Nairobi is soon in my book, and therefore that suggests to me that this would be a good topic for the shorter term rather than the longer term. Am I mishearing something that people are saying? Okay. If not, other comments on cyber squatting? Okay, let's move on to number two, which is front running. And it is a suggestion from Danny. So Danny's not on the call. So we have what we've got here, and I'll open the floor for comments on the front running issue. Again, we're thinking in terms of possible prioritization, possibly, and also the question of whether consensus policy is implicated. So I'll open the floor. Obviously, if people have other questions about this, this would be appropriate now, too. So I've got Michaela and no one else at this point. So, Michaela, go ahead.
I thought front running had more or less been dealt with the modification that was made in the last year or so. I mean, since you can't just register domains and kind of get away without paying for them, I thought that was actually being nipped in the bud. Maybe I misunderstood something.
Well, it may be, I don't know, I think that was dealing with tasting rather than front running. As I understand front running, it's where the registrar, knowing that people, you know, have an interest potentially in registering something, uses that information for its own benefit. I think that's what may be meant here, but Christina has her hand up, and she probably has a better answer than that.
Oh, well, no, I was just saying that personally I would put it at a lower priority than, for example, things like cyber squatting, malicious conduct, and warehousing. But, you know, given that I haven't printed this out, so I don't have the whole chart in front of me, I don't want to put it the lowest priority. But it's certainly not the highest for me.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this point, on this topic? All right. So I don't hear a clamor for putting this in the top bin. Unless there's other comments on front running, why don't we move on to registrar warehousing? This is item 3.1, and then there's also 3.2. 3.1 is prohibition on warehousing or speculation, and 3.2, I think, is obviously it's the same general topic about registrars registering something in their own name. But I think it's a little bit different suggestion, which is that registrars should be directly responsible to ICANN for fulfillment of duties of registrants, rather than a prohibition on warehousing. This would include this might allow, this might be in the case where there something is an acceptable type of warehousing, but the registrar would take on. ICANN could directly enforce against the registrar the obligations of registrants, I guess is what it comes down to. So those are two topics in the same general area of registrations held in the name of the registrar. So we'll open the floor to comments on either of these. Michaela, you're first. Does anybody else want to make a comment on this? Michaela, go ahead.
Just the prohibition on all such activities, I mean, without defining exactly what warehousing is, that seems a little bit broad. Because, I mean, does that mean that if, for example, my company expands and we end up with multiple subsidiaries that are involved in a variety of different activities, that we're prohibited from registering domain names? It just seems very, very, very broad. So I'd be interested in seeing what exactly is considered warehousing.
Okay, so there's a definitional question here, obviously.
Well, to start with, I mean, without understanding, it's a bit like some of the stuff that came up with regards to law enforcement. Without fully understanding what the spirit of the concept is, it's very hard to either say yay or nay. Based on what I see here, I'd run a mile from it. But maybe that's not what's intended.
Hmm. Okay. And you're talking mostly about 3.1 here.
Yeah.
Okay. Other comments on either 3.1 or 3.2? Christina, go ahead.
Sorry. I actually think that this is a fairly high priority. And, Michaela, the understanding that you have in terms of, you know, warehousing is not intended to cover, you know, registration and use of domain names by a registrar for its, you know, principal business. I think, you know, there's always been this bizarre clause in the RAA that basically says that registrars will abide by consensus policies, including on topics such as warehousing, et cetera, et cetera. But there's never actually been a consensus policy on warehousing, which I guess leads me to think that perhaps we would need one for this particular topic, given that the RAA calls it out for that. But I think, you know, I think we would need to kind of carve out and perhaps this work is going to be dependent on the work of the post-expiration domain name recovery working group. Is that the right name of it? Because I think that there's definitely some of that conduct or alleged conduct at play. Whereas, you know, from that perspective, it's at the back end after the name has been, you know, originally registered and used by a third-party registrant who fails to renew it, and then, you know, what happens to the name in terms of does it go back in the pool, and if not, why not? You know, I think that in particular, as the new GTLD process goes forward, this one in particular is going to be really important because, you know, part of the rationale for having new GTLDs is that nobody can get the domain name they want because everything's taken. Well, if you're going to expand the pool of domain names and theoretically, and the actual available pool of domains doesn't really increase because there are abilities of contracted parties to say, well, you know, these look like they're going to be valuable, I'm going to take them, or these look like they're going to be valuable, I'm going to keep them. And, you know, I don't think anyone disagrees that that happens. I mean, Elliot Mouse got up and said in Seoul that anybody who didn't do it as a registry is a fool. But, you know, from that perspective, I do think from the front end, in other words, making the names available for registration in the first place. So I do think we do have a definitional issue on this one. I think it'll be a little bit more challenging, but I think it's solvable.
I mean, just coming back on that, I mean, some of the CCTLD registries, you know, they clearly define, they reference warehousing within their contracts, but they clearly define what they mean by that. So, for example, I'm trying to think of one offhand, .be, for example, under your contract with .be, you have to do a certain number of actions per 365-day period, of which it cannot be a case of just registering domains just to yourself and nothing else. It's a definite, I mean, with the definition, it would help, my perspective anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I mean, it lacks a definition. Absolutely.
Tim, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did, Steve.
Go ahead.
It's in regards to 3.2, and I just wanted, there must be something specifically different about what would the IPC would like to see there. Other than what's already in the new agreement, the old agreement, of course, had the clause where you know, even if a registered name holder is licensing that, they're still responsible unless they provide the licensee's information. You know, if there was a reasonable evidence of actual harm or whatever. So there's that part. But then under the new agreement, there was a specific section added in 3.77 that that where a name for is registered by a registrar for its own purposes, that they still have to submit to the following provisions and shall be responsible to ICANN for compliance with all obligations of the registered name holder as set forth in the agreement, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just wondering how, what of those two existing clauses, you know, what else is needed or met by what's being asked for in 3.2. And then maybe this isn't the call to clarify that, but it would just help to have a better understanding of that.
That's a good question, and I think my recollection is that we felt that those provisions did not cover the whole universe of situations in which the registrar is registering its own name, in its own name or that of an affiliate, parent, subsidiary, or entity under common control. And those deal with one situation where you're licensing it out, the other where you're using it for some other purposes, but we felt that that didn't capture the entirety of, for example, it wouldn't cover when you're basically registering it for speculative purposes. That would be one example. So that I agree with you. We don't want to get too much in the weeds.
Yeah,
on this,
okay, I got you.
That was basically the motivation. Other,
okay,
do we have other comments or questions or thoughts about topic three, registrar warehousing? So I heard from Christina that this might be something where there would be this is one that might implicate consensus policy because of the language in the existing RAA, but she felt that it was probably a relatively high priority and that it should be a definable term. And I know Michaela had a concern about the definition. Are there any other comments on three? Okay, if not, why don't we move on to number four. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just a quick question. You know, I was just curious why front-running wasn't considered a part of the warehousing of or speculation in domain names. Maybe Margie had a reason why they wouldn't, why it wasn't included in there.
Tim, it's Margie. Yeah, you're probably right. They're very similar topics. I think it would make sense to consolidate it here.
All right. So, all right. If not, if there are no other comments on three, let's move on to four. Now, there's a lot of points under four. I think there gets down to 4.6. And there are several flavors of these different provisions on malicious conduct, but maybe we could just start with the first batch that were proposed by staff and that are on basically the bottom of page 2, 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, which includes a registrar code of conduct. And 4.4, which is about maintaining complete and accurate contact information for a point of contact for malicious conduct. So maybe just starting with those, do people have comments on these, again, from the standpoint of priority and or consensus policy? I see Tim and Michaela.
And Holly.
And Holly, thank you. Anybody else? And Christina. So let's start with Tim.
Hey, Steve, I just didn't lower my hand from before, so
I'm sorry.
Move on.
Okay, Michaela, go ahead.
Well, I mean, first off, I think just the one thing I would be a bit concerned about is, just bear me one second, certain language of the REA requiring registrars to investigate within a certain time, within a time certain, any report demonstrating harmful legal issues, blah, blah, blah. Law enforcement agencies, fine. Security professionals, fine. Attorneys, fine. Consumer protection agencies, fine. trademark owners, wouldn't that normally be attorneys?
Not necessarily.
Right. Yeah, because the kind of thing that we've seen happen a lot in the past is where we get a lot of spurious takedown notices from people regarding domains, websites, and everything else, mainly because the person in question is trying to use copyright and other things to settle business differences. So I would be very wary of anything involving the direct contact with trademark owners in that perspective.
Okay. Holly and Christina.
Yeah, I would actually separate these out into four. I think there are two easy ones here. That is, one is already rules about providing a point of contact. So to me, that's almost a compliance thing. The new one is the malicious point of abuse conduct, and that seems to me very straightforward and also fairly critical. So I'd kind of put that as very important and very clear what's being asked for.
Can you just specify which one you're saying would be the
okay,
would be very
I'm
important?
Going down a little bit further, which is malicious point of conduct, which is a different set of requirements to just point of contact. So I think there are two. One is simply in a compliance matter. The other is a new requirement, which is a provision of a 24/7 contact who can actually do something when they're contacted about some kind of malicious behavior. That's a separate one, but I think that's really very important. And then the others are issues about the obligation on registrars to investigate. That appears to be fairly new, and I think that may require a little bit more discussion, but I think it's probably very high priority. And the other subset in this is simply registrars, if they are supposed to be actually looking at malicious conduct, then I think using an audible tracking system for complaints will be a tool in that process. So that's kind of the way I conceptualize what seems to be a lot of points under this heading.
Okay, and I think I heard you say that the first two at least would be high priority, and the third one, the auditable tracking system.
That's part of, if you're looking at investigation, that probably would be a tool. One is already, just to me, a compliance matter. The other is, has been indicated, it's a very high priority.
And well, you say it's a compliance matter, but I think the point is that at this point, the registrars, correct me if I'm wrong, and Dave could certainly correct me if I'm wrong, as far as compliance, that registrars aren't required to maintain an abuse contact.
I was talking about the first one, which is simply a point of contact as opposed to abuse point of contact. We had discussions last time saying they already have to provide a contact, but what's really critical is a different set of information, which is an abuse point of contact.
Right. I think that's new, though, right? That's not a compliance matter.
Yes. No, that one is new and critical.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Christina, I think, was next.
I think I pretty much agree with everything Holly said.
Okay. Did anybody else? I'm not sure anybody else is in the queue. But basically, I get a sense that this is a high priority.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Assuming, are there any other comments on? Obviously, there are a lot of different flavors of 4.4. But without getting into the details there, 4.5 it deals with resellers providing a point of contact. Are there people have thoughts on, is that included? I guess Holly was really responding to the whole set of section 4. Any specific comments on 4.5 dealing with resellers?
I guess my comment would be with the new RAA and with the new sort of flavor of the amendments, which is responsibility for resellers, it would seem to me logical to say, well, if you're going to say there is a point of contact for abuse matters, that the resellers and the registrars between them would have to sort it out. But there would have to be a way to get very quickly to a reseller as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got Dave and Michaela, and then I think we will probably have to wrap it up at that point. Is there anybody else that wants to be in the queue? Okay, Dave Piscatella, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I wanted to make the point that that four 1 through 4-6 are priorities among the security community, the anti-phishing community, law enforcement. The ICANN DefSec has weighed in on this with several formal documents. I would hope that we could make this a high priority. It's been around for almost a year in various forms, and I think it's time we pay attention to it.
Okay. Thank you. Michaela.
I mean, I'll just keep this short and to the point. I mean, just... I think, you know, the serious malicious conduct is something which should be addressed separately from IP stuff. I just think that pushing the two together is going to be problematic.
Okay. Any further comments on this point? Okay. Well, you know, I think we're off to a good start here walking through this document. But, of course, we've only gotten through 4 out of the 18 points. So I'm wondering, I think this is, I mean, there's one way to proceed would be to try to do this online, but I'm not sure that, I wouldn't be too optimistic about that, because I think it's helpful to have the back and forth and to see if different people have different views on either the priority or the question of consensus policy. I think Dave, do you have your hand up again?
I just wanted to make an observation about trying to work on, you know, through the email lists. When we had a number of similar issues that we had to wrestle with in the Fast Flux working group, the way that we approached it was that the chairman essentially grabbed one topic at a time, used it as a subject line in an electronic mail, and started a thread. And the notion that was going to be on the mailing list was a sufficient stimulus to get people to, you know, to participate, and the participation was fairly vigorous. I think Marika can attest to the fact that we had thousands of, you know, 1,500 or so email exchanges during the course of the working group. So I would be very happy to, you know, to try to, you know, conduct some of the conversation using electronic mail. I know that, you know, we're approaching, you know, the Christmas holiday, but even if we could get one or two tackled between now and when everybody disappears, it would be useful.
Okay. Other thoughts on that? I'm certainly willing to try that, and I'm kind of shuddering at the thought of 1,500 email messages, but, you know, I guess that would be success. It would show people are engaged. So, yeah, we could certainly try that, and hopefully we can make some progress on that online. And then I've also asked already for people to start thinking about task 3, which is what should be the next steps, and I'd welcome people's suggestions on that. In terms of our next meeting, I don't think it's feasible to try to have a meeting before the end of the year, given what people's schedule was likely to start happening to people's schedules next week. But maybe we could shoot for a call the first week of the year, the week of January 4th. And perhaps if we run a doodle on that right, you know, very soon, we can get people to get something on their calendars for that first week, and we can we'll see what we get done on the online, and wherever it is, we can pick up and try to just focus on this, on getting through the rest of this of this spreadsheet. I'll also suggest if people have comments like, you know, organizational comments like Tim's about front running, you know, fitting under the under the other category. I've noticed there's one or two that were items that were in the IPC submission that I didn't find in the spreadsheet. So let's get those to Margie and the staff and or circulate those, and so we'll make sure that we clean up any loose ends like that, which I'm sure there may be some. I think the staff's done a great job pulling all this together, but there may be a loose end or two. Any reaction to what I've suggested here as far as our next steps? Okay, if not, I don't want to keep people beyond the hour, and I want to thank everybody for their participation. Wish everybody a happy holiday season, and we will hopefully be very active on the list, and we will next convene in the week of January 4th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.